This morning's scripture reading will be from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the NASB, John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Okay, good to see you all here today. And today I wanted to talk about why we love to celebrate Jesus. Jesus is such great news. We rejoice in him. I want to tell you this story because I think sometimes in the churches of Christ, as we're careful to try to follow the scriptures in all things, we sometimes isolate ourselves a little bit from the world around us. Some of that's necessary, but also we need to keep in mind that the world around us is thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ in this holiday season, as they call it. And so because they're thinking about the birth of Christ, and we hope we'd have some visitors today, looks like we might have a few. And I'm not that familiar with faces yet. Someone in Walmart said hi to me a couple of days ago, and I'm just not sure who it was, and I feel kind of bad about that. But I'm working on it. But because with that in mind, I want us to think about a kind of a scriptural example of this in Acts chapter 8, how a man was traveling along trying to understand something, and a preacher was sent to him, and the preacher began with that very idea that was already in the man's mind, and he preached about Jesus to him. And that's why I think that during the, quote, holidays, we'd also keep in mind that people are thinking about maybe the resurrection of Jesus Christ or the birth of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 25 and following. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." Y'all familiar with desert roads? It's pretty amazing. You can kind of build a road in the desert any place, can't you? All you have to do is just drive and there's a road. Make sure there's not a hole in it. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" So Philip knew that God had sent him there for a purpose, and the question was, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Well, we can understand that this man was probably what we would call a proselyte, someone who had become a follower of the Jewish faith, but was probably not by lineage a Jew. And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Because that mystery had not yet been revealed to the man who was reading it. So let's pause to consider what this is all about. The time period was 40 years or so after Jesus was born. Jesus had finished his work on earth and returned to God. The man in the chariot was reading a copy of the writings of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote the original of what that man was reading about 740 years before Jesus was born. It very accurately predicted Jesus' birth and works. At this point, about 780 years had passed. So let's continue. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. During the holiday season, perhaps more than any other time, the world is thinking about Jesus. Some celebrate Jesus just for the happiness of the holiday. Some celebrate Jesus because every day they go on their way rejoicing that in Jesus they have salvation and eternal life. When I was in China teaching, I have taught over 4,000 college students. I wish I had taught them all the gospel, but didn't get a chance to teach them all the gospel. But there was something that I could teach each one of them. I taught each one of them in their classrooms that Jesus was an Asian man and that Christianity is not a Western religion and what the meaning of BC and AD is and why the world counts their years from the birth of this one human being. All my 4,000 students got at least that as we went through our classes in English. So, we need to remember what a pivotal point in history it was, the birth of Jesus the Christ. God was so excited about it, so excited about the birth of Jesus, that he sent angels to announce it. Luke chapter 2, 8 and following, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. God was excited about it, just had to announce it to the shepherds through his angels, and Jesus' birth is one of the most essential events in all history. Could you imagine what the world would be like if any one of these things was missing? Without the creation, we wouldn't be here. Without Jesus' birth, we wouldn't have had a Savior that came into the world. Without Jesus' death, there would be no sacrifice for our sins. Without his rising from the death, from dead, his death would be useless and worthless and futile, as would ours be. Without him rising from the dead, we would never rise from the dead. Without him ascending to the Father, he would have never sent the Spirit to the apostles to guide them in all truth and to comfort them and to show them what to teach us. And without his return for the final judgment, we would never be separated to the right and to the left. And those who are with him for eternity would be the ones on the right and go with him to be with God in the presence of God where the glory of God shines forever. If any one of these was missing, the birth of Jesus, so very important. Jesus is more than met the eye. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are eternal. Jesus' life on earth was not his beginning. It was just his time to be one of us and live among us. In the creation, Jesus was always there. He and God worked together to make all physical things. God used the Hebrew word Elohim in Genesis 1:1. This word confused scholars. The Hebrew scholars were confused and upset by the word Elohim. They knew that our God is a God who is monotheistic. He doesn't go for having multiple gods, does he? When Paul would go to the marketplaces and on Mars Hill and he would preach, he would say, you know, these things you're worshiping are not idols at all. Isaiah would say, hey, isn't it kind of strange that you make an idol out of one end of the log and you burn the other end in the fire? It's garbage. It's junk. There is no such thing. So how is it then that our God, who we know as the one and only God, would use the word in the very first verse of the Bible, gods? In the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth. Wow, that is confusing, isn't it? And then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, God, singular, God said, let us make man in our image. Who is the us? Who is the our? Well, in John 1, 1 through 5 that was read this morning as the scripture reading, we find that Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was called the Word, Logos in the Greek. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Just as Justin said in his talk about Jesus this morning, that it was God on the cross. God with us, Emmanuel. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so who is the us and the our of Genesis 1:26? It's God and Jesus and the Spirit working with them. It was a mystery, but now the mystery has been revealed. Somewhere between His birth in Bethlehem and His return to heaven from Bethany, the answer has been revealed. Why we love to celebrate Jesus. There was the true light which coming into the world, John 1, 9 and following. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world and the world was made through Him and the world did not know Him. He came to His own and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not talking about a physical birth to become the Son of God. Talking about a spiritual rebirth to become a child of God. In John 1, 14 through 15, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. How I would love to have walked with John. Wow. Saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified. Now this means the one we call John the Immerser. Some call him John the Baptist, but to baptize is to immerse. And your word corrector on your computer won't like that word, immerser, but it's a word we need to start using. John the Immerser, the one who baptized, testified about Him and cried out saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. Physically, the mother of John, whose name was Elizabeth, conceived John about 6 months before Mary conceived Jesus. How is it then that John the Immerser can say Jesus existed before him when John's older than him? Well, he's speaking about his eternal existence with God and His making of all things. He was there. He was there. So He is older than John in that way. The good news of Jesus had been taught to people at Colossae, and many had obeyed the gospel. When the Apostle Paul heard about them, he wrote to them, and of course we call them Colossians. So here is the letter to the Colossians. Some of the words there, verses 19 and following, or verse 1 and following of chapter 1. Verses 9 through 18, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, Paul talking about hearing about their faith, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. See how important it is that we walk the walk, live the life, you know? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us, think about the birth of Jesus here, a Savior coming into the world, Christ our Lord, Emmanuel, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. We've been bought back by His blood, redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That doesn't mean that He was created. It means He's above all creation. For by Him all things were created. So we see that He didn't create Himself. Amen. The firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. That's pretty important, isn't it? Can you imagine? The whole world was created for Him. The whole universe was created for Him and by Him and together with God. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Do you feel important? You should feel pretty important, amen, that Jesus is your head. Look who He is. He was with God in the beginning, before anything was. All things that were created by Him and through Him and for Him. He's number one, and He's our head. That makes me feel pretty good. It is so amazing. Jesus, the Creator of all things, loves His creation so much that He was born into our world, came here in person to teach us and to save us from the eternal consequence of our sins. See what his friend and apostle Simon Peter said about this. 1 Peter 1:17 through 23, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. He transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, where we're redeemed, bought back. And we were not bought back with anything physical. We were bought back with something spiritual. Bought back with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. I always thought it was interesting to note that in Acts chapter 20, where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, that he speaks of the church that God purchased with His own blood. Have you noticed how that was worded? God purchased the church with His own blood. Acts chapter 20 something. Now we know who Jesus really is. The Son of God who was with God forever and created all physical things. Then just as Isaiah the prophet had predicted, He was born as the baby of a virgin. He was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He showed us God and offered Himself as the sinless sacrifice for our sins. He did what He came to do and returned to God. We all know that He will return to judge the world and to take His saved ones home to be with Him and God forever and ever. Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Luke 1:26, it happened. "Now in the sixth month," meaning the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she went to visit, Mary came to visit her, and was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and wouldn't we all be? And kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now you can trace Mary's lineage back to David. You can even trace Joseph's lineage back to David. But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." I doubled some of my slides, didn't I? Okay. So it's amazing to me that this Jesus endured temptation just like we endure temptation. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and following, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I had inserted these passages here about the temptation of Jesus, and for time's sake, I skipped it. But in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, we see that Jesus was tempted in the same three ways that Eve was tempted, and that in all points he was yet without sin. He didn't follow the leadings of Satan. And so he experienced what we experience. But yet, I don't want us to think that Jesus needed to come here to experience what it was like to be a man. I really don't believe that, because I know that he made us. He came here to show us God and to be the sacrifice for our sins. When we think about Jesus' birth, we can also recall his wisdom, even as a child, his amazing and sinless life as a man, his death for our sins and resurrection, his ascension and his sending of the Spirit to the apostles, and that he will return again to judge the living and the dead. When he returns, we will go with him if we have obeyed and remained faithful to him. It is the mercy and the grace. Here in the passage in Hebrews, it talks about how we can have confidence to approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Do any of you ever feel like you need mercy and grace? "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You know, in the Old Covenant, and the book of Hebrews is often comparing the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, It's a great book to study when you study the Levitical system in the Old Testament. And when the high priest once a year would bring in a sacrifice, they would sacrifice it and bring the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. They would bring in something that was dead. But when Jesus offered himself, he offered himself at the throne of God. And he was a living sacrifice. And he continues to be a living sacrifice for us today. His blood continues to cleanse us from our sins if we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And we walk in the light according to 1 John chapter 1. His blood continues to cleanse us of our sin. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter was talking about how Noah and the eight people in total, including Noah, on the ark were saved by the waters of the flood, saved from a sinful world, saved from an environment that was unhealthy spiritually for them to be in. They were willing to obey God, but the rest of the world was not. And so Peter says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Now Galatians chapter 3:27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So in the same way that Noah and his family were in the ark, we are in Christ. We are clothed in him. When God looks at us after we've been baptized into Christ, he no longer sees our sins. He sees people dressed in Jesus and just as clean as his son. When he returns, we will go with him if we've done that. If we have obeyed and remained faithful to him, it is the mercy, it is the grace, and that allows us to approach the throne of God even now in this life when we pray and when we have fellowship with God. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Even before the world was created, God had this plan to save mankind from their sins. And Jesus being born was the revelation of that mystery. Jesus living and living sinless and dying on the cross, rising from the dead, ascending to the Father, the revelation of that mystery. The way that we could obtain mercy, the way that we could obtain grace through the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, the one who redeemed us, takes us from death to life, takes us from the dominion of Satan into the kingdom of God's Holy Son. Always, 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 always celebrate Jesus. Everything about Jesus is good news for us. Amen? If you believe him and obey his gospel by being baptized into him and living for him, you can live rejoicing every day, knowing you have salvation and eternal life in Jesus our Lord. I think now about the Ethiopian and how after his baptism and his coming up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. We thank you, God, for Jesus. We're rejoicing every day. If you have any need to respond to this morning's lesson, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, to perhaps make a recommitment, or for any other spiritual need that you may have, we offer you the opportunity to come on up as we stand and as we sing.